to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And our text this morning will be verse 14 through 19. Genesis 3, verse 14 through 19. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. In verse 1 through 6 of this chapter, we saw the temptation of man, particularly Eve, to partake of that fruit that God had forbade them, the serpent being entered into by, I believe, Satan himself, led her into that temptation, and she was deceived and took of it, gave it to her husband. Then in verse 7 through 3, we saw the fall of man. The temptation in the first few verses, then the fall. The temptation being given, falling for it, the falling of man into sin. All of man through Adam fell into sin. And today in verse 14 through 19, we find the curse dealt with. We find the curse that fell upon everyone and everything that had a part in the temptation and the fall of man. If you ever wonder why bad things happen, if you ever wonder why good people suffer, if you ever wonder why things happen that are unexplainable, that you just don't think should happen, one of the main reasons for these things are found here in our text. Man disobeyed God, took of the fruit that was forbidden. Man was plunged into sin, and God placed a curse upon all of the creation. And that's mostly why bad things happen to good people, and things we don't understand happen sometimes, and people suffer, and it doesn't make any sense to us. We are laboring still to this day under this curse that God put upon man, his wife, the serpent, and all of creation. God shows his displeasure with their sin, displeasure with their disobedience, by placing them all to labor under the burden of this great curse. Before this curse, all was well, all was perfect, all went well. Everything that God had made flourished without hindrance, without obstacle. All was good and all was pure. And we can't even comprehend or begin to comprehend the wonder of God's creation, the wonder of this garden that Adam and Eve were placed in without any negative effect upon it at all. But that's the way it was. But in the curse, everything was placed under this burden. Everything was placed under this hindrance, if you would. Things would no longer prosper. Things would no longer go unobstructive or without difficulty. But everything would become difficult according to the curse that God placed upon man and the world. In verse number 14 and 15, you have the curse or the consequences placed upon the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. He was changed. The serpent was changed from the most subtle, the most beautiful, to the lowest and the most despised. It tells us here, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast. You are cursed over all the others. So there's going to be a curse fall upon all of the creation. But there's an over of that curse placed upon the serpent here as God speaks to each participant in their sin, the serpent first. We find in this passage of Scripture that this most subtle and most beautiful of all creatures are now cursed of God above all the other animals and all the other living things. It is cursed above all these things, and upon his belly thou shalt go. Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. God humbled the serpent, which may have been, according to our understanding, able to move upright, but now cast down to the dust of the earth to move upon its belly all the days of his life. Verse 15 tells us that God placed enmity between the serpent and the woman. God put an, I don't know how to describe it. He put a fear between them. He put a fear, a reservation, a dread. Before this, Adam and Eve had lived in the garden, and every creature that God had made was brought unto Adam, and they were named, and they were given names, and there wasn't any fear of man towards anything God had created. And it doesn't seem like there was any fear between anything God had created and man. But all that has changed overwhelmingly concerning all of the creation, but especially concerning the serpent. God put enmity between that creature and the woman. God put enmity between its seed, those that would come after it, and her seed. God said, it shall bruise thy head. As this creature now goes along the earth, there's going to be an enmity between man and that creature all the days of its lives. And as it slithers along the earth, It will be prone to having its head cut off, prone to having its head squashed, because that was part of the curse that God put upon this creature. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You, the serpent, will injure the ankle, will injure the leg of mankind, or the woman, as it is explained in this passage of Scripture. Now, in verse number 15, I can't remember what the theological term is. There's a technical term for what we find here in verse number 15. I don't know, can't recall the technical term for that, but I know the definition for that. And in verse number 15, as God pronounces the curse upon the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse number 15 contains what we call the first gospel. The first gospel that we find in the Bible, the mention of the first gospel. And so this curse that is placed upon the serpent isn't just upon the creature, the living thing, but this curse also falls upon Satan, also falls upon that being that indwelt this creature. And the promise that its seed, her seed, would bruise thy head is a promise concerning Christ. And all through scriptures you can find that fulfilled, where we find this enmity between her seed and the serpent's seed, her seed and Satan's seed. You find over and over again fulfillment of how Jesus Christ would be the fulfillment of that. Jesus Christ would come, and Satan might try to nip at his heels, but Jesus Christ would destroy the serpent, would destroy the devil, would destroy the works of Satan, would destroy, and that is found throughout the scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, John 12, verse 31, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 8 are all references of how Jesus Christ would be the fulfillment of the promise to destroy the head of the serpent. The first gospel has to do with the curse God placed upon Satan. And Jesus Christ has been over and over again defeating Satan. And there's actual language and wording that speaks of when Christ came and when he was here, he destroyed the works of Satan. Jesus Christ himself spoke of going to the cross and destroying the works of Satan. And so Jesus Christ is seen here in verse number 15, in the first preaching of the gospel, as that serpent would always nip at the heel of Christ, but Christ would one day, and that day has come, destroy the head of the serpent. In verse number 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It is said that hers was the most painful and the most humiliating of all the curses. And it is the most painful and the most humiliating of all the curses, because she was the one who was tempted. She was the one who gave in She was the one who didn't listen to what God had commanded. She was the one who wouldn't listen to what her husband would have taught her. She was the one who was deceived. The Bible plainly identifies her as having been deceived in the temptation. And her sorrow is going to be the worse. It says here in verse number 16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Wonder what that means. Whatever sorrow, whatever negative, whatever effects of her being a woman and growing up in the world, whatever sorrows would come from that, the Lord God Himself tells her, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. I will greatly multiply thy conception. When it comes to bringing forth children, all of the pain and the anguish and the difficulties and the heartbreak and the bringing forth of children or the losing of children, God tells her and tells all women that I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Again, we saw in the creating of man, man was given headship. We saw in the fall of man and the giving in of the temptation, that Eve gave in to the temptation of Satan, got things out of order as far as the family is concerned, the home is concerned, as far as her place concerning Adam. And God revisits that in the curse and says, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Today, to say such things, you're called chauvinist, you're called anti-woman, you're called everything can be imagined. But it is God who said these things. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we find a continuation of God's judgment, continuation of the consequence of the curse, continued on from Genesis all the way now over into the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11 through 15. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. These are very unpopular restrictions. These are non-politically correct restrictions. Scriptures, but the Lord said, let the woman learn silence in the church. It's not permitted for them to preach or to teach. They're to be in subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Well, why does God repeat these things in 1 Timothy? It tells us in verse number 13, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity, holiness with sobriety. Why are these restrictions still in place today? Because of God's placing that curse, that burden upon women to have to bear. It has nothing to do with being against women. It has nothing to do with some preacher's twisted ideas or some church's strange ideas. It's what the Word of God says. And Eve learned the hard way, you're always better off doing things God's way. And we need to learn, and hopefully not learn the hard way. We're always best off, we're always better off by doing things God's way. Let us not wrestle the scriptures. Let us not wrest the scriptures. But let us believe, and by the grace of God, practice what the scriptures tell us. And there was a curse placed upon the woman here in Genesis chapter 3. And these curses, not just the curse upon the woman, but the curse upon the serpent, the curse upon Satan, the curse upon man, the curse upon the earth, these are in force until the best evidence we have of their being reprieved or being recalled is during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Then we see these things being recalled. And then when eternity is ushered in, these things are gone. This curse is lifted. But they're in force from the time God placed the curse until the time that he removes the curse. And that time has not yet come. In Genesis chapter 3, once again, verse number 17 and 18, we find the curse, the effects of his sin, the consequences of his willingly taking of that forbidden fruit. We find the curse, we find the consequences that God placed upon Adam, that God placed upon all men until the curse is lifted one day. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, he revisits that subject again. Goes back to the temptation and who gave into the temptation and who took of it willingly. He said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face, speaking to Adam, continuation of the curse, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Because you've listened to the voice of your wife in eating of this fruit, I'm going to make your way a way of toil. I'm going to make your way a way of labor. I'm going to make your way a way of sweat. I'm going to make it difficult. The blessing of God was upon this beforehand. Everything they did, God provided for and God was pleased with. But now, it's going to take work. Now it's going to be a challenge. Now it's going to be difficult. God does not curse work. Work existed before the curse. Work is a good thing. And we can't speak well enough of work. God is well pleased with work. God is well pleased with men who have a work ethic. He doesn't curse work. He curses the results. He curses the consequences. He curses all the efforts and all the endeavors of man. It's going to come hard now. It's not going to come easy. And he would return one day to the dust of the earth. What's the significance of his returning to the dust of the earth? Well, he was made of dust. God formed him of the dust of the earth. And God tells him, because you have done this, you have died spiritually. You have begun to die physically. And eventually you're going to die and return to the dust from whence thou art taken. And that curse is a part of every man's life, every human being's life. We were created from the dust, and everyone's going to die one day and return to that dust unless the Lord Jesus Christ was to come. And you notice in these words of verse 17, 18, and 19, if you pay attention, that this curse is not just upon Adam. This curse is not just upon the man. But you find here, as God speaks to Adam concerning the curse, you find here that the creation itself is cursed. All of the creation. The earth is cursed. The dirt, the soil, the planets, the atmosphere. The creation itself was cursed because of sin. In verse number 17, about a little over midway down, thou shalt eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground because of you, I think is how you can read that. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse number 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. So this curse that the Lord placed upon the serpent, this curse that the Lord put upon Eve, this curse that the Lord put upon Adam, this curse was placed in one way or another upon all of creation. And the woman, the man, the serpent, and all of creation is still under that curse, still under the consequences of that sin. We find here that Adam blamed his wife, Eve blamed the serpent. And we said this last week, I'll say it again today. This is where we actually find proof that man has a conscience, or began to have a conscience. Because Adam blamed his wife, she blamed the serpent. But something within Adam, his conscience, blamed him. He saw himself as the one who is guilty. He saw himself as the one who had fallen. He found himself out of fellowship with God. And that conscience, that voice within him, drove him to run and drove him to hide behind the trees and to try to avoid coming face to face with Almighty God. Everybody here, I believe, has a conscience. I believe everybody here has a conscience that works within them. And conscience speaks to us and tells us we're a sinner. Tells us we're lost. Tells us we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Tells us we need a Savior. And God pricks the heart, and God works within the conscience, and God works within individuals in showing them, in revealing to them their sin, bringing them to salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you one of those here this morning who have a conscience that's riddled with guilt? A conscience that says, all have sinned means you, means me. Are you one of those that has a conscience that says things are not right between you and God? What do you need to do today? As that conscience works upon you, as the Holy Spirit works within you, as God shows you your sin, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that conscience will be cleared. That conscience will be eased. That conscience will be made cure. Who needs to be saved? Everybody here today whose conscience condemns them needs to be saved. Everybody here who doesn't have that clear conscience before God, everybody here whose conscience says to them, you better run, you better hide, you're not right with God, everyone in that condition needs to be saved. And you're saved simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's why in the delving out of the curses, you find hidden within the curse the first gospel. You find hidden the promise of the coming Christ. You find hidden the promise of he who would destroy the serpent, who would destroy Satan, who would destroy the devil. You find in the middle of all this cursing and the consequences of sin, the promise of the coming Christ. Because man has a conscience problem, a sin problem, and Jesus Christ is the answer. I think before we move on past chapter 3, we'll spend at least 1 week in looking at the grace of God in Genesis 3. There's something you can be studying, something you can be reading, something you can be considering on your own. Look at Genesis chapter 3. And where do you see grace? If you look carefully, you'll find it everywhere, particularly in that 15th verse. But you'll find it. And I think it's because the consequences of this curse was and included the conscience, or the ruining of the conscience, the beginning of the conscience, to where Adam saw himself out of fellowship with God. But not only is there that application concerning salvation, does your conscience condemn you? Does the Spirit of God move within you saying you're a sinner? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But let's talk about those who are already saved. Let's talk to you. Let's talk to me. Let's talk to God's people. Do we have a conscience problem? It is possible for God's people to have a conscience problem. It is possible for somebody who is saved and knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it is possible for sin to enter into our lives. It is possible for sin to enter into your life, my life. It is possible for God's people, those who are saved forever, going to heaven. It is possible for us to have a conscience problem. And what we need to do concerning our conscience problem is we need to repent. We need to confess. We need to run to God and say, God, I've sinned. God, my life isn't what it ought to be. God, I don't feel that communion. I don't feel that sweet fellowship that we once had. God, I feel like I need to run and hide. Don't run and hide. If you got a conscience problem, repent. God has promised, if we'll confess our sins, he's promised to be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So if you have a conscience problem and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't run and hide behind a tree. Run to God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. If you feel the weight of the curse, if you're a man that fell upon man, if you feel the weight of the curse, if you're a woman that fell upon woman, what are you going to do about it? Run to God. Get that fixed. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved and you know you're saved, and there's no doubt about that, but you know there's a problem between you and God, repent. Confess. Get right. There is no time like the present. There is no better time than right here, right now, to be saved than to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get that conscience problem solved. Let the righteousness of Christ wrap around you and cover you. Let Jesus Christ solve your conscience problem. And there's no better time if our life is messed up and sin has gotten a foothold to repent and to get that right. All the negatives in the world. We look at this curse and we look at the world in which we live. 2023, now November, this year's just about gone. Where is it gone? Time seems to fly. November 2023, still today, all of the negatives, all the things that we don't understand, all the things we can't explain, all the things that trouble us, all the negatives that you can find in the world are traceable back to this curse. Traceable back to this action of God upon all things. And I think that'll help us. We need to understand that all the negative things that happen in the world, they happen because of sin. That's the long and short of it. All these curses that remain in force today, all of the negatives that are in the world, in a part of the world, in our lives, a part of our lives, it's because of sin. Because of sin. And don't get mad at me and don't get offended. I'm not saying because of your sin, this has happened or that has happened. I'm saying all the negatives that are in the world and all the negatives that are a part of our lives from day to day is because of sin. It's because sin entered in there in Genesis chapter 3. We're operating, we're living under the curse. So everything bad that ever happens is ultimately because sin has entered into the picture. That's generally applying the thought. But there are things that happen to us, negatives that happen to us, not in a general way, but in a particular way that maybe are traceable back to our own sin or something we've done. You make application as God helps you and as God would lead you today. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.